Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your love and your grace, for the chance to read your word today with one another, to experience your light, the word made flesh, your son Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to lead and guide our readings and the sermon on the readings. We ask you, Lord, that it's from you. And anything it's not, we pray is forgotten, but that which is from you, we ask you, Lord, that it challenges us or shapes us or encourages us as you desire. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. John 19, 31 to 37. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have a makeup mirror at home? Or maybe that's not the right word, a pore mirror? You know, those little round mirrors that when you flip over, they magnify. Those kind of pore, as in not P-O-O-R, but P-O-R-E, to see your pores better, those kind of mirrors. That I hate those mirrors. I don't like regular mirrors. I'll be honest, many of you know this about me already. I'm not extremely fond of the way I look. I know my wife thinks that I'm quite handsome, and for that, I appreciate her for that. And I've said this. I said this to Elijah. We are born with enormous noses. So when I look in the mirror, that's what I see. I see my nose. And I heard some good news that the last things of your body to stop growing are your ears and your noses. So should God bless me enough to be in my 90s, I'll just be all nose. And that's okay. Grandkids, you know, we'll love it. But those pore mirrors, they're designed to help you see what? Your wrinkly. Right, that all we see is our imperfections, those things that need fixed. When we look at a mirror, we hardly ever see the things that we like first. We see the things that we don't like first. And that's sad. That doesn't come from, that's not the mirror's fault, that's our heart's fault. We tend to see the things that are bad first before we ever see the things that are good first. We were talking about this talking to someone about this, forest rangers who have been forest rangers for years. How many of you have been to a national park and just thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen? But national parks are gorgeous. Forest rangers, though, they tend to stop seeing the forest and all they see is the trees. Just see the little individual things, and it stops being special. Lent sometimes has that thing for us. Make sure my mic's on. It's on. Lent gives us an opportunity to see those things in our lives that we need to fix. Those things in our lives that we need to address. I know for me, this Lent is my devotion to God. Sometimes in a pastor's life, when we deal with church so very much, all we see is church. We don't see God anymore. We see all the things that need fixed, all the things that need done, all the people that need visited, and I love all of that. But somehow, in the midst of that, God gets kind of lost. And that happens on occasion. So this Lent, me and another pastor friend of mine, we're devoting our lives to just that, devotion. We can draw closer to God and not fall in love again because we're already in love with God, but to be able to see God clear and see God first and see the forest again and not just the trees. Lent is a time to see those things which are the hardest to look at in our lives. What is it in your life that needs to be looked at? What is it that we often ignore in our lives? I know there's probably something for everyone. One of the most difficult things in the life of a person, at least from my point of view, how many of you have heard the term midlife crisis? Right? How many, you don't have to answer this. How many of you have experienced midlife crisis? I'm about midlife. I'm getting there. I'm 39 years old and I'll be turning 40 this year. So that's one of the big O birthdays. Whatever O stands for, oh my goodness, I guess maybe. Oh no, yeah. I think about that. You know, I'm at that point where that midlife crisis kind of hit, and it can be a scary thing. One of the things I love about the Bible is it doesn't shy away from the scary things of life. It doesn't sugarcoat. As I was growing up, through my Sunday school years, I always saw the Bible as a children's book because my teachers would always talk about the Sunday school stories, Adam and Eve, you know, with all the animals being created and the birds flying in the air. Noah's ark, bringing the animals in the ark. How? Two by two. And we always saw these great pictures of the two by two of the animals going in the ark. Jonah and the whale. Big fish, big whale coming up and swallowing Jonah. You know, it's all. As I get older, I see how much of an adult book the Bible is. Creation. Adam and Eve disobeying God directly. Cain killing Abel. Noah's story. All the animals go into the ark, two by two. That's all beautiful. And then everybody dies. You know, we don't really talk about that very much. The story of Lot and his daughters and his wife being turned. I mean, the Bible does not shy away when it comes to the difficult things of life. And then in Sunday school growing up, we talk about Jesus. The love that God has for each and every one of us. That Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. But then there's our scripture today, where Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the people in charge wants the people to die quickly. So what do? They break their legs. Do you understand why breaking the legs kills them faster? Have you been described this before? When you die on the cross, you know how you die on the cross? You die of asphyxiation, drowning, basically. You can't breathe. So what it is you're on the cross, right? And the nails are drove into the feet, and the hands are nailed upon the cross too. And so as the body weakens, you start to sag. Well, that sagging puts pressure on the lungs. You can't breathe when you have that sagging on the lungs. And so in order to breathe, you push up on your legs. So the nails are your support that's going through your feet. So you're pushing up on the nails to get the body straight again so you can have a deep breath. And then you can breathe. And then you start sagging again, and then you just repeat the process for hours. Crucifixion can take hours and hours and hours and hours. But they wanted things sped up a little bit. So the soldiers would come, they take the spear in between the legs, and they would twist the spear to snap the shin bones so that they could no longer push up on the legs anymore. And so they would just suffocate. Jesus, however, was already dead, as they told us, and they pierced his side with a spear. Do you see where the water came from? As Jesus couldn't breathe anymore and he was dying, he was drowning, the water was collecting in his lungs. The body couldn't get rid of it through breathing anymore, through respiration. So all of that came out as he was pierced. What's the point of all this? Why go into such detail in this point? Because what the Bible's saying is that Jesus died. You can't survive drowning. You can't survive being pierced in the side. That the flow of the blood and the water coming out showed without a doubt that Jesus had died. Lent is about looking at the difficult things of life, and death is amongst the most difficult. But Lent has another component. It's not just looking at difficult things in life all by itself. Lent has looking at the difficult things in life through the lens of the hope that God gives us through Jesus Christ. If we were just to look at the difficult things of life, we could get awfully depressed and never recover. How many of you watched the news? Is it an uplifting program? No, it's depressing. All the terrible. I don't watch the news anymore. But what I do is I read CNN, and you know I get my news online now, and so I read all that. And man, there's a lot of terrible things going on in this world. If you just focus and you just see the terrible things as just terrible things, drive you crazy. But Lent reminds us that in the midst of those terrible things, there's always and forever hope that exists. Because though Jesus died, and this description of his death makes it sure that he did do just that, we have in the back of our minds the ultimate truth that Jesus also lived. That Jesus rose again. That death didn't have the final word. And so as we look at the difficult things in life, we do so always with the knowledge of hope. I look at the fact that my devotion with God has been lacking. That I've grown a little further away from God a little bit as the years went by here and there. But the story of Jesus tells me this. That though I may have felt more distant from God, God was still very close to me. God is still there. And God will draw me back in through the devotion in my life. That as I watch those news articles and read everything that's going on in this world, I'm reminded that even in the midst of those terrible situations, somehow, in some way, love is able to be seen. Hope is able to be given. In the difficulties that we go in our lives, the bad never has the last word. God always does. And so even though Christ died, and the Bible doesn't sugarcoat that in any way, Christ does live again. And because of that, we have hope that Jesus will always have the final word. And I pray that that's the life we live. I pray that's how we approach our lives, not avoiding the difficult things, but tackling them straight on with the understanding that we do so with the love of God and helping others get through whatever it is they're going through. And I thank God for those opportunities.